This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, it's the AL East is going to continue to be the AL East. I mean, the franchises that we have, the management of those franchises that we have, the markets that they're in, this is going to be a talking point every year. I don't ever expect the division to look easy. I'm proud that I think we're part of the mix at the top of the division. But this is going to be something that we continue to have to wrangle with so long as these divisions exist the way they do. And honestly, there's other big powerhouse divisions in baseball now too. So it is what it is. We've got a competitive sport. That's the whole point of it. A lot of teams in our division going for it. I think it's very possible we have five teams with winning records in our division this year. I think it's that good. But we got to play the games.
Mike Elias speaking this morning, sounded like he was in a loading dock, but he talks about the AL East and the Orioles a year ago finished in second place, winning 91 games. So how does the team look? How many games do you think this team's going to win, and what's their place in the AL East as pitchers and catchers have reported workouts this morning?
Look, we've talked a fair amount, at least sporadically this offseason, about the other teams in the division, and Boston in particular being one that might be ready to take a jump up and give the Orioles and Yankees more of a push. And a lot of that was contingent on, did they have one more big swing in them? Would they be willing to get their payroll back up over $200 million? We just discussed it with our buddy Dan Shaughnessy recently. Well, they made a pretty significant move today.
Yeah.
So
late last night, getting Alex Bregman.
The Orioles took a guy who looks like a superhero but only plays half the time off the Red Sox roster, right-handed bat who they really only want facing lefties, Tyler O'Neill, and the Red Sox went and got Alex Bregman to fill the hole of the part-time Tyler O'Neill who came here. And they also went and got two legitimate starting pitchers, so including one who's as filthy as anybody on the planet and is very much in his prime.
And they got Giolito coming back from injury.
So, Michael Elias talking about the division there. Yeah, other people made more significant moves than he did. I think even as much as you could say Toronto failed at a lot of things, and they did, I mean, they still took the Orioles' most productive hitter and put him in their lineup. There's a little more protection now for Vlad and Bo than there was 3 weeks ago, and it came at the Orioles' expense. So I believe this roster still has work to be done. I have no great expectations that this front office will meet the moment, because at the major league level, they never have. Maybe they'll prove me wrong. Maybe they'll do the right thing. But I think they're going to find out by Memorial Day that this season is a whole lot different than the other two, right? Usually around that time, 3 years ago, Adley's getting his feet wet. Right. And then the year after that, they're a little bit ahead of schedule. And then we're waiting for like Gunner. Right. And then Gunner hits the ground and that's a shot in the arm. And that's a lift to the fan base. And they're still ahead of the curve and they're ahead of expectations. Last year, they were shot out of a rocket the first 3 months of the season, and Gunnar's an MVP candidate, and Adley's an MVP candidate. Oh, and Corbin Burns is going to give you 200 innings. And maybe Jackson Holliday provides that push. Maybe all these number three and number four and number five starters meet their expectations or exceed them. Maybe they get off to a fast start. But I can tell you this, they're not sneaking up on anybody anymore. The bar has been raised exponentially in terms of expectations. And it would not surprise me if this is the fewest wins they've posted at the major league level since they became a contender.
We run a segment pretty frequently called All the Young Dudes. And with how this roster was constructed and Mike Elias not bringing in impact free agents to take the pressure off all of the young dudes, how far this team goes is how far these guys take the next step. Kowser, can he be more consistent? Can Jordan Westberg stay healthy? Adley, the second half was horrible last year. Can he put that behind him? Gunnar, can he run back what he did last year? Grayson, is he ready to take the next step to be an upper echelon pitcher and stay healthy? Heston Kerstad, this is going to be his most substantial run. You can go down all of the line, but Mike Elias did not do enough to take the pressure off all of those young dudes, and the Orioles are going to go as far as they take them. Now, they're still very talented, and we put up a poll. IA1057, the fan, is how you can vote on it. Pitchers and catchers are at work. Woo-hoo. So, Birdland, how many games will the O's win this season? We just put it up, but early lead, 85-90. That's where I went. I see, like, between 88... 91 wins, somewhere in that range. 90 to 95, 39.5%. 80 to 85, 10.5%. Less than 87.9.
Hey, I can't lie to you. I was stumping for the Orioles to sign Alex Bregman at this, you know, at the end of the season, the start of the offseason. I feel like not only can he still hit, and he puts up crazy numbers at Fenway Park, but he's a guy that's been through the wars before and a great guy in the clubhouse, and now the Red Sox have just added him. So that does affect
and
my
it's a short-term commitment. That's real money.
Yeah.
It's real money, but
he's got an opt-out.
But if this team doesn't want, you know, all we ever hear, well, they don't want the fifth and sixth and seventh year hanging over you. Well, there's ways around that, too.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not going to get him 1 year with a player opt-out.
Now, the Bregman contract has opt-outs after the first 2 years, so if he wants to opt out, but it's substantial money, and there's some deferrals in there as well, but he's going to get paid, that's for damn sure. I went about 85 to 90 wins as well. There are a lot of questions. I do think this team has talent, but there are a lot of damn questions, and I think we're going to find out soon enough in this season what this thing looks like and how many internal answers there are to these questions, which I'm not 1,000% sure they got all the answers, but we shall see. But we have a huge Thursday show. We get started guest-wise, former MLB GM, now with MLB Network. We'll talk to Steve Phillips about the Orioles and Major League Baseball at 2:30. Our last hit with Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger at 3 o'clock. We'll wrap up the season in the Super Bowl with Baldy at 3, our weekly chat with IA Hall of Famer Lucy Burge from BetMGM at 4. Mo Hamilton, our NBA insider, talking about what happened at the trade deadline and the landscape of the NBA at 4:30. And Patrick Stevens, covering college basketball for the Washington Post. Terps big game tonight at Nebraska, joins us at 5.
Yeah, really fired up to see if the Terps can sweep Nebraska. Big challenge. It's not going to be easy. They're playing really good ball, the Huskers are. Much better than when they came to College Park a few weeks back. Obviously, Mike Elias meeting with the media, injury updates, his thoughts on the first time that the Orioles are officially congregating down in Sarasota, and then with the Ravens. Eric DaCosta talked about not having a whole lot of pressing matters on his plate right now, but what should he be up to first? What could they sort of accomplish early in the offseason to set themselves up for the start of the league year and set themselves up for the draft? We have some thoughts.
Coming up next, though, Mike Elias met with the media down in Sarasota this morning. What did he have to say? What were those? We talked yesterday, injuries that he will announce. What were those injuries? Well, he's going to tell you next here.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3, plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
I'm a fan.
Yeah, I might have put that the wrong way. I think there's a very good chance he's ready for opening day. It's not something that we're going to force. I kind of want to see where he's at in game action here in Sarasota before we make that determination. But it's very possible. But we're going to try to be smart about it with him, is I think what I'm saying.
So that was Mike Elias this morning. Asked if Felix Bautista will be ready for opening day. And it sounds like, I reading some of the beat guys this morning, he'll be on the backfields early, but eventually will be ramped up in games and hopefully be on the mound opening day.
Somebody was saying he was going to throw today. Who was saying that?
I did see they had video of him on the field. I didn't see if he threw.
I think if he threw, it would be hidden.
Yeah, so...
You wouldn't have to seek that out.
Yeah, not as optimistic as our friend Steve Molesky was yesterday, but saying he's a good shot, he's ready for opening day. It's been over a year since he had the surgery.
16 months.
Not everybody responds to it the same way. I know we've become accustomed to just, oh, we'll circle the date around a year later, and oh, you know, just a little flesh wound. And look, the way that the science of not just the surgery and the procedure itself, but of the recovery and the healing has advanced, you know, I understand that some people just want to make it a mathematical equation, but it's not the same for everybody. And this is a little ominous to me that it's even a thing. Like the fact that we're even still, they're not committing to a timetable. And it's been 16 months. That
my Spidey senses were set off.
And he's already
the caravan.
We haven't even thrown a pitch yet, and he's already leaving out the possibility the guy starts the year on some sort of IL.
Well, it's good they brought in closure insurance.
Well, that's my point. They knew all this. They knew all this way before they started spinning their messaging today, and we got Kittredge.
Yeah, that's what they got. Well, they Soto and
bro, they were here.
Yeah, they brought him back.
And I wouldn't have. I would have spent that money otherwise. Yeah. I was on record before they did it, when they did it, and I'll say it now. They will regret that.
Yeah.
And from the outside, they brought in Kittredge for Kenley Jansen money. That's what they did.
Yeah.
When this guy does get a little bit ahead of the market, what happens? He pays O'Neill more than Santander got on a per-year basis, and he gives a setup guy closer money. Okay.
Well, when you include the deferred, he's still going to get that money at some point.
I'm talking on a yearly basis.
Yeah. More from Mike Elias. How about an update on Jorge Mateo?
Jorge Mateo coming off of the elbow reconstruction surgery, also in a great spot medically in that regard. He's doing a hitting progression, hitting buildup. He's playing catch. Everything's going well. But he's likely to be held back in camp. Probably not somebody we're going to see in Grapefruit League until very, very late in camp. And that'll probably put him in a position where he's unlikely to make the opening day roster. But we anticipate him being a huge part of this team. He's going to be back in the early part of the season, hopefully not too long after opening day. But I would expect that he'll miss opening day. But he's in a very good spot.
For his part, Jorge Mateo did speak to the media, says he got the brace off about 3 months ago. He was optimistic, but there's the GM telling you he's not going to be there.
I think there's a room at the Sheraton Waterfront Norfolk Harbor with his name on it.
Nice. Is that where they stay?
Affirmative.
Yeah.
Well, that's where the visiting team stay.
Yeah, but he's
most of the guys have apartments down there.
But he's not
going to
have an apartment.
Is that where he'll be if he's on a rehab assignment? Yeah, probably. No.
Well, you brought it up when the signing happened with Laureano, that he was Jorge Mateo insurance, because with Mateo, you have the positional flexibility. If he can play along the infield, but he can also play in the outfield as well, which helps in roster construction, how you formulate the 26-man roster where Laureano's here to give him another option.
Right-handed bat. One's a whole lot more faster than the other one, but the other one can steal bases. One has more pop than the other one. Mateo more like a 7 to 10 home run guy. You know, Laureano, when everything goes right, you know, maybe 15 home run guy if he gets enough. But both right-handed bats, both outfield insurance, I think. And look, the whole thing with Mateo is, especially if you want him to be filling in at shortstop, he's got to be able to let it rip. The arm's got to be, it's like that part of it's almost like a pitcher. And you didn't hear him say a whole lot about throwing there, did you?
No.
He talked about a little bit of catch. And hitting. You didn't hear him talk about he's going to be ripping from shortstop. He's going to be taking infield and throwing to first.
Didn't hear that. The other injury that Michael Elias disclosed today, how about an update on Trevor Rogers?
Trevor Rogers suffered a knee kneecap subluxation, doing some off-season workouts. So that's going to put him some number of weeks behind. I don't know the exact timetable on that, but right now he's still in the mode of recovering for that. When we start building him up exactly, still a little bit TBD, but safe to say this is going to put him materially behind schedule, and I would anticipate he misses opening day.
So he was not on any but our radar for being on the opening day roster. So, like, all in all, that for his part, he says he also said he was optimistic, said it popped out, he popped it back in. He also said he was hitting 93 on the gun this offseason. So there's that.
It's your guy, Jason.
Yeah.
He's talking 93 like it's 98.
Hey, what was he hitting last year? 89?
93.
What was he hitting, 89
Dude,
last year?
This. Yeah. Connor Norby should be batting 7th or 8th, playing 2nd base for this team every day.
But Jackson Holliday's jacked. Jackson Holliday's jacked.
He's
a big boy. He's a very big boy. Speaking of, we talked about closer insurance and what they did this offseason. Mike Elias asked if they did enough this offseason to win in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think, you know, the last couple of years, our team was very good and good enough to win playoff games, and it just didn't happen. And, it's not something I really want to dwell on. You know, we felt the pain of that the last couple of years.
What?
It's a fresh season.
Why would you let that motivate you?
Mindset, fresh group in a lot of ways. And I believe very strongly in the potential of this team. But we got games to play. We got to stay healthy. We got a long ways to go.
Wreck that one with Liftoff. Put that in a special file where we appreciate pass rush, Liftoff, Mean Dean. I don't make the decisions around here. That save that one. Gold star that one. I suspect we come back to that many, many, many times.
You don't want to dwell on the past, Jason.
As someone who knows something about formatting this show, Beltway Ben, always have that one ready, buddy.
Put a gold star on
it. Can I hear it again? Can I hear the start of it again? I just want to make sure. I just want to make sure I heard this correctly.
It won't play. So maybe he's
jammed up.
He got it burned. It's been burned.
I already jinxed it.
It won't play again. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we did the last couple of years. Our team was very good and good enough to win playoff games, and it just didn't happen. It's not something I really want to dwell on. We've felt the pain of that the last couple of years.
there you have it. Baseball guys, we built a great team. Now, again, don't let them spin you. They couldn't hold a damn lead for an inning. Not only could they not win a game, they couldn't get a lead or hold a lead, but he's telling you, I didn't really have to do anything differently. And I thought we were good then, so sure, I think we're good now. And the fact that we got our asses kicked repeatedly in October doesn't really matter, because that's all just random variants anyway.
So
it's
angry
the baseball
in February.
Gods. That doesn't piss you off? If you care about this team and that doesn't piss you off, then you don't know what you're listening to. Then you haven't been listening to this buffoonery for the last 3 years like I have.
In defense, you get pissed off about everything.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Yeah, pretty daily.
No,
pretty daily.
Not really.
Tim?
Yeah.
Some
things can set you off.
Ben, daily? Yeah,
no,
there it is. 3-1.
True.
You're not listening then. Coming up next.
I'm listening.
We'll ask Steve
Defend Phillip. It.
I can't defend
How
it.
How does that sound to you?
It sounds stupid.
Yeah. Dude, we just got here. It's the first day, and that's the best he can do.
I'm just...
Defend your team. Say, I built the damn playoff team, if you believe it.
Yeah.
And we're going to show you this year. Is that what he said?
No. He said, I'm not going to dwell on it. I'm not going
to dwell on the fact that we can't win a game in October.
Uh-uh.
What are you going to dwell on? Your Baseball America rankings?
Well, they're not good either. They're not good either anymore. Keith Law had him in the bottom third.
20th,
Yeah. Hey, Steve Phillips, former GM. MLB Network is where you can find him. They're concluding their 100 top players tonight on MLB Network. We'll talk Orioles and baseball with Steve next here on The Fan. This evening, MLB Network will conclude its top 100 players right now countdown series. It's live tonight at 8 p.m., revealing the top 10. 10 players in the sport. Steve Phillips will appear on the show alongside Greg Amsinger and former All-Star Chris Young. And let's head out to the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline, where Steve Phillips joins us now. And Steve, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it. Let's start with the Orioles and their offseason. We just were listening to Mike Elias, who spoke this morning. What did you think of their offseason and their place in this division right now?
Well, I think I do look at it like a bit of a lost opportunity for them. Losing Burns, losing Santander, and you played the sound there from Ryan O'Hearn top, but you can't replace them as individuals. You've got to do it collectively, and he's right. I thought this would be an off season where, with all these young players, that they would spend some money and go get an ace and lock one up, or go sign a big bat and a veteran guy, put him in the middle of the lineup, and they just didn't go there. And so, I look at the Red Sox offs.
And bad timing. Ben just stepped out, so we'll have to get Steve Phillips back on in a minute. He was on hard cell phone. Sometimes we just get bad connections. Alas,
them's the breaks.
Just to follow up on what he was saying, and it's something that everybody has said. Off season seemed like a missed opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know anyone who we've brought on, and we bring on quite a few baseball guests that we respect, and who are not just coming off half cocked. I don't. Outside of people who have more than a little fan in them or rooting interest in them, it's hard to find just sort of stone cold analyst who can thump their chest about what's happened here. It is a whole lot of doubling down on their own way of doing things, of being outside the norms of major league modern team building practices, and a whole lot of gambling that all their answers are within, or most of their answers. Overwhelming majority of their answers are within.
I think Steve is calling back now. Hey, Steve, you there?
I have him again. He took out an earpiece too, so hopefully it sounds better.
All right. Okay. Well, Steve Phillips joining us once again here. Steve, are you there?
I sure am. Gotcha. Sorry about that.
It's okay. So you were saying about the Orioles and missed opportunity.
Right. I look at this offseason as a missed opportunity that, you lose Corbin Burns, you lose Anthony Santander, but you have this core of really good young players. And quite honestly, last year I thought to myself, they've got a chance to build a dynasty with so many great, young, affordable players, with financial flexibility, without having any real long-term money tied up, new ownership coming in where maybe there's going to be a different appetite for spending. And so I really had some expectation. Again, I built that up on my own. Nobody told me that I should expect it, but I did. I look at the Red Sox offseason and I think, man, that could have been Baltimore. That should have been Baltimore's offseason. Trade for Crochet, sign Walker Buehler, bring a big bat into the lineup, and then let's go get them. And it just feels like that they went to that next level down. And, when you're going to transition from being a really good team to being a real competitor, a chance to go to a World Series, at some point you have to assume a level of risk, one that in a trade or in a signing that really doesn't feel great, but you do it because it's the price of doing business and the price you have to pay to win. And it felt like they just stopped short there. Now, they may be right. Maybe the growth of the young players will allow them to get out there and compete. But I look at what the Red Sox did. I look at what the Yankees did. I look at what the Blue Jays did. And Tampa Bay's got all these young starters coming back healthy from injury this year that they're going to be tough with that pitching staff. And I worry a little bit about where the Orioles will fall in this division now.
Well, Steve, focusing on the guys that they do have in-house, and you mentioned the loss of Corbin Burns. They did not go out and acquire an upper echelon starting pitcher, but brought in Charlie Morton, brought in Sugano. What do you think of this rotation as a whole? What's your concern level for it?
Yeah, so I like Charlie Morton. I think he's still got something left in the tank, and we don't really know yet on Sugano, but I think he'll be a serviceable, my expectation would be a middle of the rotation starter, but very serviceable and professional. It just doesn't have the impact, right? It doesn't have the aces, the ace in the front that matches up with other teams' number one. And I think it's if Grayson Rodriguez grows, develops, stays healthy, and can emerge as that guy, then I'd rather have him be my number two, and have Eflin be my number three. But, I think it's going to allow them to compete But I don't think they're going to run away with anything in this division because other teams can match up with their starting pitching. And you know, then it comes down to, you know, do they score enough to support the starting pitching? Does the bullpen, you know, hold the lead and hold the deficit, allowing them to hold leads and win and to hold the deficit to let them rally to come back from behind? And then they need the offense, obviously, to be more consistent. You know, Adley Rutschman disappeared a bit in the second half last year. And, you know, and look, losing Jordan Westberg really hurt. Mm-hmm. And I think having him back healthy for a full season will make a difference. But, you know, I don't think they have the best starting pitching in this division. And you can make an argument that of the five teams in the East, they might have the least starting pitching.
Steve, I don't know if this is just a modern sort of baseball thing, and it's more than just the Orioles who don't seem to put much emphasis on this. And I know you can't plug it into an algorithm like you can a lot of numerical statistics, but they don't seem to be inclined whatsoever to buy into the fact that postseason leadership and postseason experience and being a part of a team that actually exceeded or met expectations in October, they don't seem to think that matters whatsoever. The only guy they've kind of collected along the way who had some of that was Aaron Hicks, and he was great for him for half a year. And does that stuff matter? I mean, do you look at this at all and say, the kids they're counting on are the same kids who came up short the last two Octobers, and they've got nobody else to fall back on for help? I mean, Ryan O'Hearn, what's he done in the post? Like, they don't seem to think that matters. Even O'Neill, what's his postseason pedigree?
Right. So look, they have a really good group of young talent. I don't want to just beat them down. I mean, they've got some star young players there. There's no question about that. I do believe in veteran experience. I do believe that, you know, bringing in that, you know, that veteran player to just lead and guide and direct, you know, even a Justin Turner, you know, a guy who's been around for a while, he's got postseason pedigree. You know, he can still hit. You know, he's not much of a third baseman. He's more of a first base DH type guy. But somebody who's been there before, who when everybody's sitting around or they're on a flight somewhere, he can go sit next to Adley Rutschman. He can go sit next to Gunnar Henderson or Jordan Westberg and just, you know, or Colton Cowser and say, listen, hang in there, man. Don't worry about it. Remember, you'll get out of it. Just trust your process and get through it. Because, you know, with young kids, and you know, they can get a little panicky and jumpy if they're struggling a little bit. And just having somebody who's been through it before and who's weathered it, come out on the other side, and still is known as a good player. Like, great players still have struggles, and you've got to find a way out of it. Now, so many of the good young Orioles prospects went through the minor leagues without much struggle. And, you know, I always wanted my star prospects to struggle at some point in the minor leagues. And you think, well, geez, why would you want that? And it's because you know at some point they're going to struggle in the major league. And to be able to, and when you struggle, what you want to be able to do is fall back upon what you did, what adjustments you made, how you handled it. If you didn't handle it well, you learned something from how you didn't handle it the right way, so that when you do experience in the major leagues, and they all will, they know how to get through it. And so I think some part of that happened last year. Adley Rutschman had a struggle that he had never had before. Jackson Holliday struggled in a way he'd never had before, and it took them a little longer to find their way out of it. Now, they may figure it out on their own, but I think at some point, even if it's in season, you know, or later in the year, where you bring in somebody who's been there before, you know, even a Tommy Pham, who, you know, always seems that he comes in with grit and toughness and no nonsense, and he holds people accountable.
Yes.
But I will say that Brandon Hyde is, I think, has the ability to hold guys accountable. But they do have a lot of younger, quieter, star young players. And so, yeah, I think at some point, and it does matter, right? You can't quantify it. And in this world of analytics, sometimes it can be dismissed if the analytics people are looking at it. But the people with the uniforms on really know that it matters where you've been before and what you can share with your fellow teammates.
Steve Phillips, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate you watching MLB Network tonight as the Top 100 Players right now concludes at 8 o'clock.
Hey, my pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me again. Sorry about the phone snap.
No worries, man. It's the
no
world
worries.
We're living in.
Yeah,
thank
it
you.
Happens.
Yeah, you're speaking our language.
Top 100 players right now. It's the top 10 players in the sport. Steve Phillips, Greg Amsinger, and Chris Young tonight at 8 o'clock. Yeah, Tommy Pham, where did you hear that name? Jason, where have we heard that name?
Justin Turner for years at the deadline.
Mentioned J.D. Martinez a year ago. Like, guys
don't need it.
Yeah.
They got Sanchez.
Yeah. Hey, coming up next, Switch to Ravens. A little purple rain in the forecast. And what is going to be first on Mr. EDC's to-do list this offseason? We have our ideas next here on The Fan. We heard Eric DaCosta at the end-of-season press conference, GM of the Ravens, and he basically said, look, we don't have a lot of big decisions, but they have some. And so with that, what do you think is something they can, I guess, check off their list pretty quickly? The one that stands out to me, like, you've got two guys in Tyler Linderbaum and Kyle Hamilton that are eligible for extensions. I'd be shocked if they don't get at least a Linderbaum extension done pretty quickly. And frankly, I think they'll get extensions done with both of them.
Well, I don't know about the Linderbaum quickly, because if you're Linderbaum, don't you want to wait and see what this guard gets?
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, what's his rush?
Yeah. If he's happy, I hear you. I think
I mean,
they'll get.
I mean, we keep seeing interior alignment. What if Joe Tooney restructures and gets another huge payday? He's going to.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. I don't think that's an imminent. You know what I mean? I don't think that's one that's in the bag before the league year and they just announce it. You know, I think Pat Ricard, Pat McCary, those two should be.
Where they
The Ricard to me was the layup.
The Pats.
The Pats are just. Like, should be pretty close to layups. I'm not saying that you lowball them. I'm not saying you make it more difficult than it is. I'm not saying you make them grovel. I'm saying you give them decent raises on short-term deals. And they both fit incredibly well here, better than anywhere else. I think if we're talking immediate, imminent checklist items, for me, they're high priorities. Whatever you're going to do with Marlon and Lamar, that should happen expeditiously. Mm-hmm. That should be done at the combine. You should not leave your suite at the Conrad until, actually, you might not be able to do it with Marlon because he represents himself now.
Yeah.
So.
But doesn't Lamar,
you
too?
You won't be hanging out with Joel Siegel, who also has a penthouse at the Conrad.
Doesn't Lamar represent himself, too?
And Lamar represents himself. So, Yeah. Maybe get that done before you go to Indianapolis.
Yes.
Maybe because you're going to have enough on your plate in Indianapolis.
And tell me if you're with me on this. I don't restructure Lamar, I extend him.
No, it's a new contract.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about it at length tomorrow.
Yeah.
There needs to be a new Lamar Jackson contract.
Mm-hmm.
Mahomes is going to get a new deal. Brock Purdy might get $60 million a year, and you got the best quarterback on the planet. You will never go wrong by continuing to double down with the best player on the planet at that position where. Look at that Lawrence contract. Look at that Tua contract. Stay ahead of the curve. You've only got him through his age 30 season right now. That needs to be a new contract, okay. Adding on multiple new years, not just playing around with proration. I'd say you need to add three. It needs to be a new contract.
Yeah.
Ideally, but we know how this went the first go around.
Yeah, but I think
if you haven't learned from that, then sell the team.
And you've got two MVPs since then.
Like, no, I'm dead serious.
Should have two MVPs.
You want to go to war with him again, sell the team to somebody who will just give him what he's worth.
I'm with you. It should happen, but I'm not going to say that I have 100% certainty that he's going to get a brand new deal. They're definitely going to play with this.
Wait two more years and see what it cost you. Yeah. See how that worked out for you the last time.
I'm with you.
I think it's folly to not give him a new deal. Like, it's not a restructure. It's a new deal.
It would be asinine to play kick the can salary cap games with him.
Yeah.
Asinine. Cost yourself a few players by doing it this way the last time, and you're damn lucky that they colluded and didn't try to steal him from you like they should have.
Yeah.
Don't get cute.
Hey, the Falcons had Desmond Ridder and a lot of interior linemen.
And then I do think closure on Mark Andrews. Like, that's something I'd like to have by the combine. Like, if I don't think having him play out a year for $11 million, well, is it the end of the world? No, but I don't know that that's the best way to sort of handle that situation.
Well, you know more than anyone, Jason. They're going to talk at the combine. What is Mark Andrews worth to the other 31 GMs? And you shop that around, see what it is, and then you go from there. If you get the draft compensation or player compensation for Mark Andrews that you like, then you move forward with that. If you don't, then what do you do with the contract? Or you let it play it out, like you're saying.
And look, I think you need to be very real with him and his agents, and like if all you want to do is squat on him for 1 year, $11 million, and he has a lot of issues with that, then I think it's time to move that contract. And I mean, it's time to pay Isaiah Likely. I'd rather buy low on him anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they need to make sure they're all really on the same page about what's happening here. Because, like, with Kelce, it went pretty quick. I try telling people this all the time. Tight ends are like running backs. When it goes, it's gone. It's gone forever. Your legs are shot.
He can't
run anymore. Your explosion shot.
Yeah.
You go from this. Last year, he was one of the best players in the playoffs. This year, I'm sure they're regretting that they didn't just run it with Noah Gray and bring him in just in the red zone. Like, he held them back.
I don't necessarily see that being the case with Andrews. I mean, he's entering his age 30 season. And yes, the last time we saw him in the playoff game, it was a
every time
disaster.
We've seen him in the playoffs.
Yes, it was a disaster. But this guy did just lead all tight ends in touchdowns.
He also didn't play the first half of the year. I mean, he didn't do anything. The first half of the year was basically first. What he caught his first touchdown in November, right?
No. It was like week five, week six.
He had 11 touchdowns.
Yeah.
He had 11 touchdowns.
I think it was fairly deep into the season. I can remember a lot of discussions about what's going on with Mark Andrews.
He caught his first touchdown October 13th.
October 13th. Every metric with him is going. The key metrics I would look at in a tight end are going down. Yards per catch, yards per target. Like, and I think the other guy's more explosive than him. I think the other guy's better than him.
And he's moving out of his prime, and he's never been good in the playoffs in his prime. Still as many touchdowns in the playoffs as you and I combined.
So, yeah, I think they need to have a guy who's given that much to the organization, I think you got to make sure he's fully bought in and he's cool with it. Because, again, if they don't want to pay him and Likely at the same time, and I don't think they do,
no.
Then I think everybody needs to be pretty candid about where they stand.
We will get back into this a little later, but coming up next on the program, Brian Baldinger. He's an Odyssey NFL insider. He'll give us his thoughts on the Super Bowl. That's next here on The Fan.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.